All right, nice to have you back with us as we get ready for baseball here, the Giants and the Mariners coming up. It's a pleasure to bring Mark Simon in. Mark A. Simon says on Twitter, mark@sportsinfosolutions.com, one of the brilliant baseball minds in the country. Mark is with us every weekend during the baseball season, and we're thrilled to have him. Mark, how are you?
I'm good. This is always one of the most fun things I do each week, so I'm looking forward to talking to you.
Oh, we love having you on, and I truly say you're one of the great baseball minds, and people should follow you on Twitter. Well, last year you said if anything good was going to happen, Mike Yastrzemski would be close to an MVP. He was. I think he came in eighth in the balloting. What do the Giants need to contend this year in this National League West?
Boy, this was a lot harder to do this year than it was to do last year when I said, okay, it's only 60 games. If they can get to 31, 32 wins, maybe they'll be all right. The problem that I see is that there's too big of a hill to climb between the fact that you have those two teams in the NL East and you have the two teams in the NL West. But if you want to have fun with it and say, okay, here's what you need, I tried to go through every player and assign them like a value and say this is like how many wins they would contribute toward getting to like 87, 88. And you really have to stretch with this team. You have to get Longoria to be something close to what he was during his prime in Tampa Bay. You need probably one of the pitchers, whether it's Cueto or Desclafani, to be as good as you would hope that Gausman will be this year so that you have a top two that can be playoff caliber to contend with the Braves and the Mets and the Padres and whoever. And you need Crawford or Belt to turn back the clock a little bit and look like the hitters that they were a few years ago. And the thing that's important to remember here is you need all of those things. Like those four teams that I said, they're so stacked that I think the Giants are just going to have a hard time. We can wish it. We can hope it. And maybe it'll happen. To me, it's like I hate to be the pessimist, but it's like a 10% chance this year. And I don't mean to be overly negative, but you got to win games like you lost on opening day. That counts too.
Well, it takes good pitching, catching the ball, and some timely hitting. The hitting looks like it's been pretty good. The pitching is still a little bit in progress. And defensively, let's talk about defensively where this ball club is as far as catching the ball, because with a pitching staff that's going to be challenged over 162, you don't want to give extra outs away that may not show up in the box score. So where do they look like they are on defense?
So I would feel very good, and I think it's kind of Captain Obvious to say you feel pretty good behind the plate. You feel pretty good at first base as long as Brandon Thiel is healthy. You feel generally good at shortstop, though Brandon was headed in a little bit of the wrong direction the previous couple of years before last year. So you start to wonder if he's getting old. You feel good at third base. Evan Longoria, despite what he's done offensively, has always looked good with the glove in his time with the Giants. Left field's the danger spot. That's the one that I think would worry me the most with Dickerson out there. He's somewhat of a defensive liability. Dubon showed that he can play center, and he can. That was pretty good for a first year. Dave and John were talking about that. He had a pretty good year for a first year defensively in center field. You don't worry about Yastrzemski and Wright. So I feel like you're like the sum of all of that is like good, okay, maybe not great. Potential to be very good if your older guys come through, and potential to struggle if the Brandons are injured in any way.
What about second base? On the show tonight, Kerry and Bill and I have kicked this around quite a bit. Solano is at second tonight. LaStella is the DH. We thought maybe it'd be reversed, but Solano is so hot, maybe they just want to keep him in the same spot on the field and in the lineup. What about second base? You've got Flores, you've got Solano, you've got LaStella, you have Dubon if in an emergency. What about second?
I feel like at this point, they should just let Solano play every day because he's potentially their best hitter next to Yastrzemski, and he's their best defensive second baseman. And at best, you would say that he's like an average second baseman defensively. I didn't mention second base. Second base is kind of the weak spot. Don't play Wilmer Flores I guess the closer to first base that you play Wilmer Flores, the better. Don't play him on the left side. And the problem with Tommy LaStella is that Tommy LaStella is a good hitter, Tommy Lestell is a good player. He's not very good in the field either. He's actually, his defensive numbers the last couple of years at second base are worse than Wilmer. So that would worry me. I would, at this point, let's let him play. It's clear that he's Mr. Line Drive. Just let him keep going out there and crushing it.
Well, he looks like Tony Gwynn.
Yeah, from the right side, exactly. The hit last night was great. He's already, I think, got four line drives in two games. You can't ask for more than what he brings to you as a hitter. He's the best line drive hitter in baseball back to 2019.
Wow. Wow, that's a good compliment. Mark Simon is with us. Mark at sportsinfosolutions.com. Mark A. Simon says on Twitter, this is an older team, and you and I have kicked this around before. I think it's a lot of fun to talk about. And it's sort of the predictor of injuries. And there are a number of factors that go into the stats and the analytics. And this is part of signing people or not signing people, is predicting whether they'll be injury prone. Take us through a little bit of that, maybe for some of the Giants, because that is an issue for them.
Yeah, so let's do this specific to Brandon Crawford. And this is actually a cool development that our company put together. It's been a long project that we finally put out there and shared at a conference this past spring. And what we do is we take all of the different factors that you could think of that could possibly relate to injuries, and then it becomes like a checklist for that player. Is he older? Yes. Is he slow? Yes. Is he heavy? Brandon Crawford's not heavy. Does he have an injury history? Yes. What is the injury history? We run down all the different things, and we look at how often those predict future injuries. And the issue with Brandon Crawford was that we calculated that based on all of his history and all of the factors that go into who Brandon Crawford is, that he has a 62% chance this year to go on the disabled list. That's very specific, and I don't know that I would necessarily get that specific, but it means he's a little bit of a risk. And the guy that developed the system for us came up with a term that I thought was really interesting. He said that the reason that shortstops like Brandon Crawford and Simmons is another one, Andrelton Simmons, are high in terms of the injury risk factor is because they're high usage players. They're all over the field trying to make plays. They dive, they slide, they'll jump for balls. Those are all things that contribute to risk factor for injuries. The more you do those things, the more taxing it is for your body. And I think Brandon's got to be mindful of that as the year goes. And I realize it's just a prediction. It's not saying an absolute. But that's what the data shows in this case.
Well, interesting. You know, the Mariners have two gold glovers, Evan White and J.P. Crawford. And I must tell you, watching the first series here, Crawford doesn't get to everything. And Evan White has made two plays that really are not characteristic of someone who's a gold glove first baseman. How did these guys win gold gloves last year? Were they that good?
So, all right. So it was the way that the gold gloves were awarded last year, they took the vote out of it, and it was just a mathematical thing. It was the statistical, the different things that you see on all these websites, the defensive runs saved and the UZRs and the outs above average. And for 60 games, they both scored better than anybody else. I think most people would say Matt Olson is the standard setter at first base in the American League. Shortstop Simmons was hurt. So I think that took him out of the mix. Otherwise you would figure it to him. Marcus Semien had a poor year too. Go to him. J.P. Crawford is a guy on the rise. I think he's probably better than what he's shown in these first couple of games. And I think you've won a little bit of a larger sample size to evaluate him.
You glad that Francisco Lindor got his $344 million and now the city of New York doesn't hate him?
Well, yeah, you know, that, it would have been pretty ugly, I think, if he had not signed.
Yes.
As a general principle, I am against 10-year contracts. But that seems to be what the market requires these days to get the super-duper star kind of player, whether it's Tatis locking him up for the long term or any of these shortstops that are going to come on the market. And I think that at least for the first 5 years, I don't think that the Mets will regret what they do with Lindor. I just worry, and you know, Saras had a good way to phrase it. He said, the worry isn't that he's going to be good enough to live up to the contract. The worry is that he's going to be available to play the number of games that it's going to require for him to live up to the contract. Like, look at what happened with David Wright. Like, that kind of thing happens. A lot of guys get hurt. Guys have their troubles. There are no guarantees. And that's why I'm always wary of the 10-year contract.
Who would you rather have? Well, I know you love to make predictions. Cy Young in the National League, and I'll say Bauer or DeGrom or somebody else.
Oh, who did I pick for Cy Young in the National League? Oh, I picked Walker Buehler.
Okay.
I think I had picked him in a previous season, and I always feel good about, like, when he goes to the mound, I feel the same way about him watching him that I would feel about a guy like DeGrom. And I would take DeGrom over Bauer 9 days out of 10, even though Trevor had the great game yesterday. But Walker Buehler was my Cy Young pick. If you want to skip ahead to MVP, I took Acuna as my MVP. I thought that was chalk pick, but I thought that was a pretty fair pick to make.
Do you give Bauer any credit for pitching with one eye closed?
I'm not going to dispute. He's very good. He's also very polarizing, and I'm not a fan of the polarization that he brings to the pitcher's mound.
All right. Well, great having you on. As I said, I look forward to this every weekend, and it's a lot of fun to talk to you. And I wish you a good weekend, a happy holiday, and we will talk next week.
Sure. Watch for Logan Webb's changeup tonight, too, by the way.
But before I let you go, that is his pitch. That is what changed him, and that is his big out pitch. Quick thought on Logan Webb before we say goodbye.
Yeah. Dave and John said last night that they couldn't understand how Yusei Kikuchi had a 5 and change ERA last year based on what his other numbers were. You can make the same case for Logan Webb being a pitcher whose ERA should be like high 3s, low 4s. And in fact, that's what the projection systems have for him this year.
Beautiful. Well, we'll see how it goes tonight. He's going against Chris Flexen, who pitched in South Korea last year. So that's what baseball is today. Mark, great weekend. Thanks for being on. We'll talk to you next week.
Sure. It was fun. Thanks.
No, absolutely. That is Mark A. Simon Says on Twitter. Mark Simon, Mark at sportsinfosolutions.com. You're listening to KNBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.